Hello, everyone. Welcome to today's Locked On Cavaliers podcast. As always, I'm Chris Manning, your host from FearTheSword.com and a writer at The Step Back. Today, Chops from Complex is the guest. We run through a bunch of Kyrie situations, run through what deals make sense, the possibility of him being on the team when the season starts, and I think you guys will kind of get a really detailed primer on what's going on with Kyrie right now. In addition to the latest news being that Kyrie will not commit to any team beyond the next 2 years, which is a very smart play for him. Tomorrow, just as a quick note, on Thursday night at 10 p.m. over on the Locked On Podcast Facebook page, which you can just find really easily, search Locked On Podcasts in Facebook and it'll come right up. I'm going to be doing a live show. So what that means is I'm going to be recording Friday's podcast in a Facebook Live that I'll be doing on that show. So what you'll have me see me do there is recap Kyrie stuff, talk about yesterday's news, answer your questions for 20, 30 minutes, however long it goes. You get to interact with me live, get to be part of the podcast in what will probably, at least for now, maybe it'll change in the future, be the closest thing we do to a live podcast here on Locked On Cavs. So again, 10 p.m. Thursday night, 10 p.m. in the East. Go on Locked On, the Locked On Network Facebook page, and we'll take a crack at this and see how it goes. Hope to see you there. Please, I'll tweet about this as well, and hopefully you guys come in and join. And before we get into today's show, I just want to say real quick my condolences to the Medley family. So Matthew Medley, I saw on Twitter from the site he worked for, Northeast Ohio Sports Insider, passed away unexpectedly in Georgia. Matt was someone that I met covering at Cavs games. I'm not going to say I knew him very well, but was always very nice when I talked to him. And it seems he died when on vacation with his dad in Georgia. So it's just a sad loss. He was a very talented guy. And it just makes me very, very sad to see someone who is my age, basically, is 20, 23 years old, somewhere in that. You know, he's around my age. Passed away, and it's just really sad, and my heart goes out to him and his family. So please just keep them in your thoughts. Matt was, again, a really talented guy and just always very nice, and no one should lose someone at that age. So rest in peace, Matt. My thoughts are with him and his family today, this kind of stuff really matters more than anything else. So please keep his family in mind. It's devastating for anyone to lose someone, and especially just awful that he was just really getting to start life. So, again, prayers to the Medley family. But again, talk to you guys tonight, 10 p.m., for the live on Facebook Locked On Cavs episode. Here's today's show with Chops talking about Kyrie Irving and a number of potential trades for the superstar point guard.
You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily podcast on the Cleveland Cavaliers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, Chops, let's start with the newest bit of news we have about Kyrie Irving. He has, per a report, said that he will not commit to another team beyond the 2 years that he signed for. So let's say the Cavs trade him to the Suns, which is the team in the report that said, would they give him more for him if he would commit? He's not going to say, I will sign and guarantee that I will stay there for the 2 years, you know, maybe opt in, maybe sign a longer deal. Like, I know during this process, we're all going to be more critical of Kyrie. Like, and I think, like, that's just sort of, like, the natural thing that he wants out. It's really smart of him to not say he's going to sign with some team long-term. Like, he should very well see how the next 2 years goes if he moves on. He should have done the same thing with the Cavs. In addition to that, his next contract is going to be his prime years contract. He's a point guard. He's going to be 27 or 28 in the next deal, depending on when he signs it. It's a smart thing for him. And it's also understandable that teams would want him to commit, but it's also like 2 years is a lot of time on a contract when stars actually become available. So I can understand it. I also don't know. I don't know how to think if it should like drives down his value or anything quite like that.
Yeah, when I saw it, the first thing that hit me, it wasn't like, oh, this takes away the Cavs' leverage, because like no player is going to commit 2 years into the future to anything. Like, say Kyrie got traded to the Knicks, which is like reportedly his number one destination, he still wouldn't commit to them long term. Like, because that's just not in a player's best interest. So I think, I don't think that this hurts the Cavs' leverage. I think it's just Kyrie's can't. Well, for one, the report came from Terry Pluto, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I don't even know. Like, I don't know Terry's sources. He's great, but I'm not sure where it's coming from. You know, like, the problem that I have with Kyrie through this whole thing is that he's so incredibly silent, and he's almost trolling in a sense in how silent he is. And that's why I've been frustrated with him. So it's just like, okay, yeah, he's not going to commit to anybody, but that's not really a surprise, you know?
Yeah, I also just would note, too, that like the only two things we've heard from him to kind of follow up what you're saying is it's really him being on the Nike tour and Instagramming more during the whole time he was in Asia than he normally does, just Significantly more.
All pictures, by the way, except for the Snapchat coming home, all pictures.
Right, and then we had the video of him at Harrison Barnes' wedding.
Yeah.
It was, like, the only things we've really heard from him. And I also don't know, like, necessarily what his – what like, what do you – like, unless you're refuting it, I guess, I don't know what else you say.
His camp is always so quiet and close to the chest, though, so it's, like – I'm wondering where all of – where some of these leaks come from. That's what I'm wondering. But, yeah.
No, that's totally fair.
If he – well, obviously, if it was not true, he would come out and say it's not true. So it's obviously true that he wants to leave. Like, if it wasn't true, he would come out and say it. So it's obviously true that he wants to leave, whatever the reason, if it's LeBron, whatever. So – and I don't know. It's just very weird. It doesn't seem like he's handling it that well, but I guess it's hard to tell right now without him speaking. So, like – but it's hard to give him the benefit of the doubt because he seems to be making such rash decisions right now.
Yeah. My guess on this and just kind of my understanding is that there is some calculation on his part. There is I think some of this is kind of touch and go. And I think some of this has to just be kind of planned out. Like, I don't know. Like, there's this sort of this narrative that has kind of come up. And I'm not saying, like, you're doing this, but I'm saying, like, I think it's something that has been brought up that, like, how Kyrie, you know, like, has handled some of this does kind of, you know, go across, like, kind of push back against, like, what he is in the court as this, like, very controlled guy. I think, like, there's some truth to that. I also, like, I've thought, obviously, like, a lot about this, and I think I've said this on this podcast before, but I'm sort of, like, less surprised that he does want out now and just that he wants out in general. That, then I really should have. Like, I was initially very surprised. Like, this caught me off guard. I was in the car going to wonderful Athens, Ohio for a weekend of beer and, like, got, like, the alert on my phone and was, like shocked, right? And I was, like, texting and DMing or G-chatting with Carter and Justin and trying to, like, you know, organize Fear the Sword. And I was, like, surprised. And I've thought about it, like, a lot since then, since the couple weeks have passed, and I'm less surprised.
Yeah.
Just kind of in retrospect. Like, I'm less surprised. Just and David Zavak had, I think, the best couple tweets about this. It's, if you think about, like, Kyrie's early days in Cleveland, they weren't exactly competent, you know? And it's, like, Even just something as simple as, we're going to take a ball-dominant guy to play alongside you other than a guy who maybe fits a little bit better and you're really good friends with. Like, just stuff like that, I think, maybe adds up over time.
I think, yeah, I wasn't... Like, at the first when that first Windhurst tweet came out, you're like, oh, shit, this kind of stuff never happens. So you're, like, surprised. And then you think about it and you're like, oh, yeah, Kyrie hasn't had the best time in Cleveland. Just what surprises me, though, is that he's doing it right now. The timing is just so – the timing is what makes me think it's more LeBron-related than Cavs-related. Because say LeBron leaves next summer, Kyrie would have – more leverage to get out than this summer, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's willingly, Like, the Cavs would want, if LeBron leaves next summer, the Cavs would either be able to keep Kyrie because he'd have the team, or they would be like, okay, we got to rebuild. Kyrie wants out. We're not going to be able to get as much for him. So Kyrie would have more leverage. Like, he doesn't have much leverage right now, which is why I'm so surprised that he's doing it right now, you know?
I totally get that. I think, too, it is like kind of just interesting timing. And there's no like good way for us to get, I think, clear into this. And I think this kind of brings it full circle until he does talk. Like, until Kyrie, like, has an interview about this, whether it's like...
to Kyrie, that's the thing. He's not going to...
If you can go back and like watch any post game interview he's ever done. I can say like you've talked to him. I've talked to him in the locker room. Like, you've seen him in media days. He's not a media talkative guy.
No,
there are like very like when he does respond in like a lengthy, thoughtful way, it is usually when he feels like someone is asking a question that is like trying to slight him in some way.
And it's like, he's very hyperbolic. He's very just like in depth and like almost too in depth sometimes.
Yeah.
Like when I interviewed him, like I would ask him like something not that complicated and he would just go on and on about like and kind of ramble. But I think that's how his mind worked. So when he does talk, wherever he is, I pray it's not at Cavs Media Day because I don't know if I could handle this together. I mean, I love Kyrie, but I don't know if I could take that as a Cavs fan. But
yeah, so let's get to that. So it like wouldn't shock me if he's on the roster come media day. I want to say that flat out.
I'd be shocked. I think mildly shocked. I'll say mildly shocked.
Yeah, I don't know if I would be like there. I could go both ways in this, but I've thought a lot about like what the like, and I hate doing this because I don't always think the optics. Like, I think we a lot of times as a like Twitter based society really like make too much about the optics of something. You know, like I think we like overvalue that sometimes, even though like it's really awkward and it plays really well and like gets clicks. I think like media day for him to be there would be one of the just most fascinating things I could think of from like just a pure like social concept like experiment. Like, you think about like what Cavs media day is for a guy like Kyrie, second most important player in the team, second biggest star on the team, the guy like the young star on the team, you know, all these things, these boxes you check off for him. He's gonna get his own media session that it will be everyone will pay attention to. If you look at media days, like, you'll notice that certain guys don't have everybody there, and he'll be one of the guys where everyone is there probing him with questions for 10-15 minutes or whatever. He'd also have his pictures. He'd also have interactions. Very, like, you can't hide there. It's not like he can go there and, like, I guess he could hide in the locker room, you know, but it's not like he can't not be hanging on the floor with JR and Tristan and LeBron James and Kevin Love and Ty Lue. And, like, you would do a big three picture.
Yeah.
They would have to do that big three picture. It's really, really interesting. I like just that concept of him being there. In addition to, it wouldn't shock me if they decided, like, yeah, we're actually going to... Well, like, that to me, like, there's two aspects of this three aspects of this process that I think are bluffs. It's the Cavs maybe wanting to hold him to media day, the Suns not being willing to give up Josh Jackson, and we don't really know what anyone thinks of Justice Winslow. Like, those are three really big factors in this. The Cavs have said they'll do it. It'd be really interesting if they did do it, but I think, like you, I ultimately would be mildly surprised if they did it, but also I'd be like, yeah, this kind of makes some sense that they would try to do it. And last thing I'll turn over to you, Lee Jenkins was on the jump, and he made this point that, like, he thinks LeBron and Kyrie could, like, repair it. Like, LeBron came to Cleveland without, like, really knowing Kyrie, and, like, he is someone who, like, just wants to win, so maybe they, like, if anyone could repair it, I feel like LeBron, even if he's annoyed, could do it.
Without going into too much in depth about conversations I've had with people, I'll just say, who are around LeBron mildly in that kind of sense. I don't know, man. I think Kyrie, in the way that he thinks, I don't think LeBron can get through to him again. Because LeBron's had to get through to him once and had to get him to buy in. I don't think it can happen again after this. I really don't. I don't think that the people around LeBron have been fully supportive of Kyrie and what he does, and that has caused issues. I won't say any names.
I mean, we know the thing about, like, Kyrie's, like, there's the thing where it's like Chris Mims got, you know, like, is allowed to go on the plane, and like Kyrie's people haven't been, and then the Cavs just hired someone who's a longtime friend of LeBron James to work on their to head up their scouting department.
Yeah, so. I mean Brandon Williams. Yeah, he went played at the University of Oakland in Michigan. I mean he's good. I mean yeah, but I think that that's small. I think the Randy thing. I mean Randy's always around, but I think that that's
yeah Randy. I'm sorry, not
I
Chris.
I don't think the Kyrie thing is one thing. I think it's a combination of a whole lot of stuff. Probably a lot to do with LeBron, part to do with the Cavs, Griff, whatever, you know? And I think that it's just, it's too fractured at this point. And I mean, Lee Jenkins, you know, definitely knows more than me, but just from looking at it and the way that LeBron is acting in the D Rose tweet, the IGs, because LeBron's not being silent right now. LeBron is very, very in plain sight in Vegas doing stuff. It seems like LeBron is ready to, I don't want to say prove a point this season, but prove a point in a way, you know?
Mm-hmm. No, I get what you're saying. And I think there would be some, like, I don't think it's like out of the question that we got like a Russell Westbrook-y season out of LeBron if Kyrie gets traded. You know,
he'll want to. Hopefully, someone can talk him out of it.
Yeah, like LeBron playing 38 minutes a game, like, isn't a good idea.
Hopefully, Ty Lue can talk him out of that because he's going to want to. And whoever, say they do trade Kyrie and whoever they get back, whatever, he's going to definitely want to. You brought up Josh Jackson. I think that that's such a big bluff by the Suns. And everybody keeps tweeting me, like, oh, they said they're not trading. Yeah, they're not going to say that they're going to trade their fourth overall pick. That's not how the NBA works.
No, yeah, I mean, you're right. All right, let's look at some of these potential options. I think that we'll hit some of the big ones. We're not going to go too into depth on the Heat just because, and I just want to basically hear your take on Justice Winslow, so we'll start there because if you want to go back, you can listen to my pod with David and Wes, and you can get into kind of that big discussion about the Heat. I'm just curious, Chops, like when you hear like Dragic and Winslow is like the basis of a Heat offer.
Pass.
What is your reaction?
Pass. Because I don't think Winslow's a good enough prospect. Dragic is fine, but then they don't have any picks. They don't have any picks to supplement like Winslow not being good enough and coming off injury type stuff. You know? Like there's no sweetener coming from Miami. It seems like some of the other offers would have a sweetener in it. There's no sweetener coming from Miami. Plus the fact that Pat Riley and Dan Gilbert definitely aren't cordial enough, I'd probably say, to make it worth each other's while.
Yeah, I mean, my thing is that I think that offer does serve two things. One, like it gives you a baseline level that you can go ask for other teams to beat it. Like, and I think that there's some value to that. Like, it just in terms of a pure like leverage.
It's real because the Miami Heat went to publicly denied it so fast. They went on the record. They were like, tell people that this is the Heat on the record. So that offer definitely was a real thing.
Yeah, 100%. The other thing I think, too, is I get, like, the skepticism of Winslow. I also, like, and I know his shooting is a concern. I do think, like, if you are targeting a guy on a rookie deal, if that's something you really, really want and you do believe in what he can be, like, and he's already, I think, like, a very good defender. Occasionally, like, with the shoulder injury, you do have him under control for 2 years before restricted free agency.
Is he a good defender or is he, like, a Wiggins good defender?
No, he's, like, a good defender.
Okay.
And I asked that three times in different ways to Wes and David, who, like, I trust, and they were like, yeah, like, he's like, a good defender. Okay. He's not like the Wiggins. Like, no, that's a totally fair question though. Like, is he like a Wiggins, like fake good defender?
Yeah,
because
people say Steph Curry is a good defender too. People like to lie.
Yeah, fake news on defense.
Yeah.
In his playmaking before he got hurt last year was interesting. The shot is a concern. I'm not going to deny that, but I think I think you could do worse. You know, like I would rather they do Dragic and Winslow then like Melo, you know, and that's not like a necessarily high bar, but like I would rather them do something where they get a direct replacement for Kyrie and they get a young guy who like you could mold. And like, I think if you're going to get a guy that can't, like, I know LeBron like loves guys who can shoot. If you got a defender that could play next to LeBron that allows him to defend Draymond and not have to defend KD in the finals, like that, I think that has a lot of value too.
I think if the Cavs were interested in a Miami deal, like, you have to ask for, like, Josh Richardson back. Like, you have to get one more thing from them. Like, I, like, you know, like Tyler Johnson makes way too much. I don't know the rest of their roster. Like, you're not,
I mean, like they have, like, Ellington, and, like, I guess, like, it'd be hilarious if they got Deion back, yeah. Which, like, wouldn't be a good idea.
Traded until, what, December, right?
Yeah, I think even a resign. Yeah, you couldn't be signed until December. So, like, you could do, so Tyler John, I'm going to just throw this in the trade machine now. Like, so let's say Kyrie and you'll send Shump out, just kind of kill two birds with one stone.
Shump or Fry will be involved in any Kyrie deal. One or the other will
be going. It'd be better if it's Shumper, because I don't want road tripping to end, and B, so, like, there's two things. This is a deal I like, that I would think about a lot. Kyrie, you send Kyrie and Shumper to Miami. You get back Dragic. You get back Tyler Johnson, and we get Winslow. And Winslow does fit into your trade exception. So you could use the rest of that Dunleavy trade exception, or use it, like, actually get use out of it. And that works. Like, that math-wise works. You get Chumper's contract off your books, and I think you're a little bit better if you do that.
Yeah, you probably are, because you're getting that extra piece. Like, there has to be a sweetener from, and, like, maybe it's a third team that comes in and works it out. But, yeah, like the baseline of Winslow and Dragic, I just need more there, and I think that they could get more type stuff.
And I think it's fair to ask for that if you have Kyrie, who has 2 years left on his deal, who's 25, who's really, really good. Like, I think that's fair. Before we kind of – we'll move on to Phoenix next, because I think a three-team deal with them and, like, New York actually can make some sense. Would you prefer, like, the sweetener to be a pick or to be a player? And I know it, like, depends on the situation, but, like, if you're going to say you get one of them, what would you rather have?
I would say, like, my favorite deal, if we're talking about the Suns, is, like, Kyrie Shump for Jackson, Bledsoe, and Dudley, and if you can get a pick, get a pick. But if not, that's my favorite deal, I think.
I think if you're dumping Shumpert, I think you're probably, like, not getting a pick.
Exactly.
That's my guess. That's
probably, like, the caveat to that. Like, if they're like, if we're taking Shump, no, you don't get a pick.
And, yeah, which I think is fair. Which I think is more than fair.
It's not, yeah, because Shumpert, I think Shams reported it that Shumpert's not willing to, like, renegotiate his contract or like knock off the last year of his deal or something.
Yeah. Which makes sense, because he might not get paid $10 million a year again.
100% not. That's not
probably happening. Probably not. Especially if, like, it's nuclear winter, like, NBA offseason coming up. Like, that's totally, like, a fair thing to expect. Okay, so let's look at Phoenix. So they, to me, make a lot of sense for a couple of reasons. One, Bledsoe, aside from the clutch connections, direct replacement for Kyrie, even if you have concerns about the knees. Yeah. If you could get Dudley, who actually is making roughly the same Shumpert, perfect LeBron piece. You get the veteran help.
Yeah.
Jackson is the blue chipper. So you have him under control for 4 years. He's not really like that. Like, he's different. Like, I don't want to say they're the same guy, but he's not like that dissimilar to what Winslow is, because he can't shoot right now. But you have him under control longer. He gives you a building block for if and when LeBron leaves next summer. You'd have him and Chetty and, you know, whatever else, like, maybe get your hands on to start building a next group of guys. Like, you'd have, like, at least some useful players in that sense. I think they make a lot of sense. I think if you could get everything out of them, it makes sense. I'd have some concerns about your two best point guards both having some knee issues. I think that, like, that's a fair concern. But I think, like, for me, it's like Phoenix is, if I had power rankings of what teams could actually offer the Cavs, or and they realistically would offer the Cavs, I think Phoenix is the top of my list.
Yeah, I think so too, just because they just have so many versatile pieces that would fit for the Cavs. Like, Eric Bledsoe, when healthy, is a perfect point guard to play out with LeBron, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then even, like they have picks. Like, say they were able to get a pick out of it. They have that Miami pick. They have another Miami pick in 2021. They have other young pieces like Warren, who I like, if you can't get Dudley. Like, they just have a lot there that it feels like the Cavs could work something out, you know?
Yeah. I can't, like, say that I know a lot about Eric Bledsoe. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I can't say, like, I've watched him a lot. I know that I've watched him and I've seen him do really good stuff, I'm a fan. Yeah. I think he's definitely going to be a better defender than Kyrie. You're not getting the same individual shot creation, but yeah. I think you could do worse than to have Eric Bledsoe.
You could do a lot worse than having Eric Bledsoe. I mean, you could have Derrick Rose and Jose Calderon. So, which the Cavs do have, of course. But
look, let's just like ignore the fact that the Cavs right now. They signed Calderon on the first day of free agency. They signed Derrick Rose, and they still have Kay Felder, who's like, even though he had a bad summer league, like it's probably like negligibly worse than.
Is it bad that I don't hate the Rose deal and that I think that LeBron's gonna like make him like pretty good? Is that bad?
I have concerns about Rose just because he's the first point guard LeBron's had since he went to Miami that can't shoot.
Yeah.
There's a clip I watched when I wrote about him and his fit where he was guarded by Drew Holiday, and Holiday just like ran to the opposite elbow and just like was like didn't even really care that he left Rose wide open.
Yeah. I mean,
so
I think I don't know. We'll see. LeBron made Dele like serviceable as fuck. So
Dele can shoot.
That's true. But Dele can't dribble. Rose can dribble.
True.
Did you see that Jose Calderon is wearing number 81? I saw that on the Cav Instagram.
That's hilarious. Like, that's just hilarious. So I hope I see that jersey this year.
Oh, someone's gonna buy one this year.
I hope someone gets that jersey.
But yeah, I mean, I think Bledsoe, I think he'd be like you said, you could do a lot worse than Eric Bledsoe. Like say they try to do a Minnesota deal. Like, what even, you'd have to have a third team for a Minnesota deal, because like, they, for one, you can't trade for Teague until December. They don't have any other point guards unless you want Tyus Jones, which I'm good.
Original Cavs draft pick, Tyus Jones.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, like it'd have to be a third team where you're getting something. But, like, a third team with the Cavs and this Kyrie deal gets so complicated because, one, the Cavs don't have a lot of assets. Like, who's going to want to give up extra stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. And I also like Bledsoe from, like, him. I like Dragic a lot. I just think, like, Bledsoe offers something, and he's younger and all the stuff that I think, like, he just makes the most sense if you can get him. I'm not a big Teague guy. Like, I get the attractiveness of potentially, like, what Wiggins, the idea of Andrew Wiggins is. I don't really think Jeff Teague is, like, very good. I just don't. Like, I don't think he's fine. He's fine.
I've slandered Andrew Wiggins way too much for him to
I also don't think the relationship between him and the Cavs is like necessarily like great.
Yeah, I mean it couldn't be, right? I mean, I don't know.
No. It's just like, I think I've thought about that like summer a lot recently too, and it's like you had that presser where they brought him out and were like, yeah, like this is our guy. Like, they made a very big deal about like their plans for him, and like LeBron changes everything. But, like, their sort of plan that summer was, like, all right, we're going to draft Wiggins, we're going to get Gordon Hayward, and we're going to have, like, Wiggins as a big two, Gordon Hayward and Kyrie as our big three.
Yeah.
And with Tristan and Deion Waiters. Like, that was, like, their plan.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, one of, like, the guy who's, like, probably, like, now it's like, okay, we have LeBron and Tristan and Kyrie wants that. Like, it's just a very different world. I think the Suns make sense. I understand, though, their hesitation to, like, not necessarily give up everything for him. Like, I get it. Like, it's 2 years. It's not on his list of known places to stay. I kind of think I get it. They're also one of the teams that I think I could put together the overall best package. Like, it's them and the Nuggets for me that could put together the best deal.
And there's been no reports that the Nuggets have made any kind of offer.
Right.
Like, there's been nothing on that.
Yeah. Which is telling. And I think the James Jones factor in this is like something I don't know how to quantify. But what is his voice? What is he saying now that he's got a very large leadership role with the Phoenix Suns?
I think here's what I think the Cavs, Kobe should do, and I'm not obviously not a general manager, but I think you say to the Suns, you try and get as much as you can, and then you settle for Jackson, Bledsoe, and another guy, and you let them keep the pick. I think you ask for the pick, Jackson, Bledsoe, etc., and you get them off of keeping Jackson. I think that's what you have to try and do.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think like maybe too, I think the Winslow Miami thing, it can be used as leverage. You can just say, okay, we're getting Winslow, Dragic, and a protected pick from the Heat.
Do they have?
We would rather not trade them to Like, we would rather not trade him to this team we don't really have a good relationship with.
Yeah.
You can, like, let's do business, you know? And, like, you can say, like, yeah, you don't you want to pair Kyrie and Devin Booker? Like, don't you want to do that, you know, at least for 2 years? Yeah. Like, that's what you should be trying to do,
like,
there.
You should sell him on, yo, if Kyrie is the man here and he starts winning, he'll undoubtedly give you at least a shot for him to stay, you mm-hmm. know?
Mm-hmm. Especially if James Jones can sell him on it. If James Jones, like, wants to sell him on it, and if, like, him and he likes playing with Booker, like, those things would be really interesting. Let's just real quickly touch on the Nuggets. Like, I don't think it's a likely deal with them. Like, we, as you said, like, there's been no reports that they are going to deal with the Cavs. Like, they are, you know, that they are interested in pushing together anything. They have pieces I think would be great. Like, I think Jamal Murray and Wilson Chandler and, like, maybe a protected pick would be, like, a really, really good return. Like, I wouldn't take
and get Harris in there too.
So, like, I think if, like, the deal I would ask for if I was the Cavs is this. I would ask for Will Barton to be, like, a point guard who can shoot. I would ask for Gary Harris, and I would ask for Wilson Chandler. I would start off by asking for Murray and Harris. Yeah. I don't think you're getting – I think you're picking one of those guys is what I think ends up happening. You know, maybe you could, like, get back, like, if you didn't want Barton and you could get Murray, like, maybe you take – ask for Hernan Gomez or maybe, like, Beasley. Yeah. But I think there's, like, one of those two guys you could ask for. And if you're the Nuggets, like, you tell them, look – like, yes, like, him and Jokic, like, you have two offensively insane players, and him and Jokic, you put him with Millsap, you know, like, you get to keep one of your really good guys. You can still develop Moutier. I wouldn't want anything to do with Moutier. I just want to throw that out there. I'm out on Moutier.
I don't want Moutier.
Yeah. So, like, I think you need to do something there where you ask for one of those guys. It just didn't seem like the Nuggets are actually interested. And I think, like, in terms of, like, a fit-wise for them, I can get, like, Kyrie and Jokic don't necessarily aren't, like, exactly symbiotic for what Kyrie sort of needs to do from that point guard spot and what Jokic is fantastic at. But I would certainly try to call him, especially because Wilson Chandler would be a great fit next to LeBron James. Like, just a perfect, perfect fit if they were able to get him somehow.
Yeah, I agree. I would like Wilson Chandler. I've wanted him for a few years. I just don't see the Nuggets doing it.
I don't know.
I just – they would have been tossed around, I think, a little bit. They're probably trying to repair their relationship with Gary Harris because they were a blink of an eye away from trading him to the Pacers, you know?
Yeah, they're Kevin Pritchard, like, not going off the reservation away from like, trading Gary Harris. That's just interesting as well. And, like, wonder the different world we live in, you know? I wonder if, like, too, and it's hard to know, it's impossible to know, I guess, but, if, like, if the Cavs did pull off Paul George and, like, they had him here in Cleveland, what they would like, would Kyrie still want out? You know, that's an interesting question.
The thing is, his timing doesn't match up on some of these reports because some of them are saying that he wanted to go to the Bulls when Jimmy Butler was still there, which, like, and but then some are saying he requested a trade 2 weeks ago, but that doesn't match up because Jimmy Butler was traded on draft night. So, when did Kyrie want to go to the Bulls with Jimmy Butler? You know,
yeah. No, you're right on that.
Man, I heard, I think I told Carter this, just to, like, freak him out, because I like freaking Carter out.
Freaking out Carter Rodriguez, hi Carter, is, like, one of my five favorite things to do.
Yeah, like.
And just giving Carter crap for, like, things he doesn't deserve crap for is one of my favorite things.
I heard from a very, very good source that Paul George was either about to get on a plane or close to a plane to come to Cleveland to literally be a part of that deal. That's how close it was. I know people were saying he was ready to call Dan Gilbert, but I heard he was, like, almost literally en route to Cleveland to, like, lock this down. And then Kevin
wild.
Decided to be an asshole.
Wild. Just a wild. Yeah. Wild summer.
I mean, what could have been, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to just throw you out a couple other teams here that I think could make some sense. Just in terms of, like, what they actually could offer. I think we've kind of covered the ones that make the most sense. I think there are other teams that have interest that we know that have interest. But the Wolves, I think, is just, like, we've talked about them enough. Like, I just – unless they – the Wiggins thing, I'd be surprised if they did it. So I'm just going to run through a couple options. Like, again, these are not teams that we know have made offers. We don't even know if they have interest. It seems like they might not. But one that is there, they don't have the young player that would make some sense. they do have a replacement and veteran help that you could get in return for Kyrie. And that is that's the Charlotte Hornets. You would have to send over something else with Kyrie, something really cheap, which, you know, brings up maybe Fry, maybe Amon Shumpert if you get them to take him. But what would you think of something like Kemba Walker, Marvin Williams?
Man, I would cry myself to sleep. I'm good. Like,
yeah, I get it.
Up the phone, man. I can't do that.
Yeah, I 100% get that as well. I think there's like some. I get like Kemba. I think like you do. I think the young player like makes a lot of sense for what the Cavs are trying to do right now. So, I'll note that. All right, so we'll go up to Milwaukee now. Let's say they call you, yeah. Chops. You're the new GM. Kobe Altman's fired. And they say, okay, well, like we'll give you Brogdon, we'll give you Middleton, we'll give you like one other thing to kind of make that money work. Just something, but something that are on Middleton, Brogdon, or maybe like Deli and Middleton. Like, what would you think of that?
It's a good offer, but I can't do it. I can't willingly put Kyrie with Giannis and
in the East
and have to play them. And like, no, I can't. And that's why I don't like. That's like Milwaukee and the Celtics can probably put together the best two packages for the Cavs, and I just don't know if I could actually go through with it if I was the Cavs GM.
Yeah, it'd be hard. I mean, it'd be really hard. I think Middleton and Deli would actually, or like Middleton and Brogdon would be really good. I agree. I think they'd be good. They'd be good returns.
Very good. And Middleton, I'm not as high on as some people like Mike and some other people. But I mean, I'm very high on Brogdon. I think he's going to be very good.
Yeah, and I think Middleton's like really good. One team that hasn't been brought up that I'm sort of surprised that they haven't been gotten their name out there a little bit. Is the Dallas Mavericks. Like, so if you wanted to go really young, a point guard, Dennis Smith has all this upside and yada yada. The problem I think there is like, are you good with like Wes Matthews in a pick?
And like you'd have to pick between Matthews and Barnes, right? And like, I'm good on both of them.
Yeah, Barnes at his number is sort of the problem, I think.
Yeah, and
like it's Harrison Barnes, like that's like, you know, you get him and Dennis Smith in a pick, like that's fine, I guess. But like him at $23 million is kind of the problem for me.
Yeah, and like that deal is just starting. I couldn't do it.
Yeah,
because like, how bad is Dallas really going to be? They're always like recently they've been like bad, but not bad enough to where it's like a high pick, and like, oh, I can't do it.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that. One team that has said they've pulled out of the negotiations with the Cavs, that they're not gonna. That's the reporting at least, is the Clippers. I think like if you were gonna go veteran. You know, Pat Beverly, they have him. They can trade him now. You could ask for, like, if you like Sam Decker or you like Harrell, like, you know, those guys exist. I don't know if they can be traded right now.
Yeah, they can, they were traded. Yeah, they can be traded.
So they have, like, you have those guys, and you could ask for, like, you know, Lou, and, like, you could get the money there. Like, you could stack up and, like, kind of accumulate, like, a lot of veteran-y guys. But yeah. I just don't know if that's – I don't think that's what the Cavs are really looking for. Like, Beverly, Decker – and Williams, like, in combined salary, like, doesn't even work.
Yeah, I think you'd have
especially
to, like,
because, like, they cannot be traded in combination with another player right now. Like, that's the restriction on them.
Yeah, you'd have to get DeAndre back in it, and I think, and, like, do you even want to do that? I don't know. It's just, like, not a good fit, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't think it makes much sense at all. We'll finish on the Knicks after this, but the one team that did make an offer that I think is sort of interesting, and I don't know like what to make of it, is the Spurs.
I was just thinking about that, yeah.
So it's like you could ask for Danny Green, easy. Yeah. You could if you could ask for Jonte Murray.
You could get
in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like Murray was good as a rookie, like, and he's gonna play big minutes for them this year. Clutch, and I mean like the clutch thing has happened. The thing that it becomes a problem there.
LaMarcus.
Well, so like.
You can't do it without him, right? How would you – the money won't work.
So if you did – I'm putting this in the trade machine right now. If you did Murray and Danny Green for Kyrie Irving and you put that in the machine, so the Spurs would have to cut another $4 million in salary, four-something million off their books. If you look at their list, so they're top of – they have Aldridge, they have Kawhi. They're not trading Kawhi. Powell, they're not going to trade him this year. Tony Parker, you have Patty Mills. Obviously, there's no reason to trade him.
Yeah.
Rudy Gay is at $8 million. Once you get past Rudy Gay, you're getting into Kyle Anderson at $2.1 million, to Joffrey Laverne and White and Bryn Forbes and Berntes and like guys that don't make a lot of money.
You know,
so like
you know, the Spurs are kicking themselves for not trying to get Jonathan Simmons back at maybe like a cheapish deal. because
it'd be flippable.
Yeah, like that could have been a sweetener in some kind of deal, and they're probably kicking themselves right now because of it.
Yeah. So the trick then becomes, like, if you're going to do a deal with the Spurs, what you're realistically looking at is, like, it's you're getting back. You would have I'm going to put it in now to see if it works. But what would work, like, baseline level, and make maybe some other money has to go back to San Antonio or, like, some small piece or, like, I don't know. But Aldridge, Green, Jonte Murray for Kyrie and Shumpert works mathematically.
Unless you're flipping Aldridge somewhere else, I just, like, for, like, maybe Bledsoe. See, that, I would do that.
Yeah.
I would do that. Say, because he wanted to go to Phoenix. Remember, he was close to signing with the Suns. They want someone like him. I would try and flip LaMarcus to the Suns. You get Bledsoe, and you get Murray and Green. I would do that.
Yeah. I would do it if you had that in the works. You know, like, I'm going to pull up the Suns right now as, like, a three-team deal here. You know, send Aldridge to Phoenix, go Bledsoe to Cleveland. I think in this situation, maybe Murray in this situation has to go to Phoenix. Like, maybe that's what happens here. And then Josh Jackson. Like, I think when you get to this, it's like, I think the Cavs would have to give up something else or do something to get that young guy. Like, I think in this scenario, it's, I feel like that all sides would be like, okay, like, you got Bledsoe and Danny Green. And if you're the Suns, like, I don't know if they value Aldridge, like, so much if you're giving up Bledsoe. Like, I just don't wonder if you could, like, the trick there is, like, are you coaxing the Suns into giving up Josh Jackson? Or are you getting Murray, too? Or, like, I think those are questions I would have to answer. I like the idea quite a bit, though.
I think the Suns are trying to get rid of Bledsoe. I don't think that they, like, are actively, like, want Bledsoe.
Yeah.
I like, there's been rumors with him and just people have talked, they don't have Bledsoe in their future plans. So I don't think that they would be that mad at kind of giving him up.
Yeah. For reference, in this hypothetical deal, let's just say this, like, the Bledsoe, Green, Dudley to Cleveland, Irving to San Antonio, Aldridge, Shumpert, Jonte Murray to the Suns, Suns have to cut just a tad bit of money off of that. So they could dump, like, a Chris or, you know, like a TJ Warren, like, just like you could dump TJ Warren to, like, let's look. If it's in the trade exceptions, like, you could, you could do that where, like, you get Warren back and you're not getting, you know, necessarily the highest upside guy in Jackson, but you're getting something that helps you in, like, you're not taking on any super long-term salary for Kyrie and you're getting guys that can help right now.
He could replace Shumpert, I'm pretty positive.
Yeah, I don't doubt that, but, like, something like that could work, especially if the Suns are willing to settle for Aldridge and sort of help facilitate something like that. The last team that's worth talking about is just the Knicks. I just look at their roster, and I think everyone out there should just know this. It doesn't work out a three-team deal, and then you can't really deal with them directly unless they're like, yeah, here's Kristaps, and even then, like, the money there is just, like, super comp. It's just, I don't even. Like, he fits in the trade exception, actually, but the Knicks would have to cut $10 million off their books to, like, just do straight-up Kyrie for Kristaps. And, like, so that means, like, are you dealing Courtney Lee? Like, you know, like, the Courtney Lee and Kristaps for Kyrie, like, would work on paper, but, like, there's no reason to say that would happen. Kristaps should not be traded.
They don't want to pair Melo with Kyrie. They want to get Melo out of town. The problem is Melo's digging his feet into only going to Houston, which 100% takes them out of the Kyrie sweepstakes. They can't get Kyrie without trading Melo. And unfortunately for Knicks fans right now, Melo is not going to just facilitate that.
So the only way I think Kyrie ends up in New York, and this is something Carter has kind of said, like, makes sense, he thinks, is if Phoenix gets involved, and they're saying, like, okay, like, we will, like, kind of, we will, like, if Bledsoe goes to Cleveland and, like, this certain, like, stuff happens and they're willing to get, like, young guys back from the Knicks, and, like, that's, like, their payment for helping facilitate this. If they, like, you know, like Kuzminskis, Nikitina, like, if they like Hernan Gomez, like, whoever they like out of the Knicks young guys that they get, like, that's how that happens if Kyrie is in New York, that the Knicks just give up young guys to Phoenix and the Cavs get stuff from Phoenix and it's a three-team deal. But that's, I don't see another way that a deal with the Knicks makes any sense at all.
No. And, yeah, I don't either. Poor Knicks fans.
Yeah, poor Knicks fans. But, I mean, I guess if they trade Melo to Houston,
I think no matter what, the Suns will be involved in a Kyrie deal. either as a third team or the direct team. I think that they've been in. Woj talked about this, I want to say early July. He said that the Suns were kind of holding pattern and they were willing to take on contracts or facilitate stuff. So I think that they're ready. I think the Cavs just have to find the right deal for them, but I think the Suns will be involved.
Is there anything, any other team, any other aspect of this that we haven't hit on, Chops, that you kind of think, okay, I just want to hit on this real quick? I think Boston, obviously, if Boston wants to offer stuff, I'd have a hard time seeing the Cavs doing it. New Orleans, like, you know, they could offer Boogie, but, like, I don't really love that idea. Anything else in there that makes sense to you?
If Boston wants to offer the Nets pick and Crowder and IT, then you know what? Let's do it, you know?
Yeah.
But, like, why would they do that? There's no way that Boston's going to do that.
Yeah. I mean, I'd have a hard time seeing them doing it. It'd be like, very weird to see to see that kind of happening. Go ahead.
I looked at Detroit. They have weird pieces. God.
I'm just like, I'm just going to say this. I don't really block many people, but I would like at the minimum mute you if you tweet me like a link or like a photo of your tweet and it's like the Cavs get Reggie Jackson. Yeah. You're dead to me. That's just dumb.
Yeah. Like Detroit has nothing I want. I'm just trying to think of other, like Orlando doesn't have anything that I want.
Yeah, if I was the Cavs, I would like call the Grizzlies and be like, "Do you want to trade us Mike Conley?" Yeah. Like, I would do stuff like that. Yeah. But like, I don't think that's like likely, you know.
I'd like that. I would like that a lot.
I would too. You'd have to cut like $4 million, so like Fry would have to go back or something, or you know, you like some like machination to kind of make the money match. But like, I would like do stuff like that, you know, just like look at teams that maybe need a shakeup that have guys that are established.
The problem
is like two of those teams, but yeah.
The problem with the Grizzlies, well, overall, just the problem with this happening now is a lot of these teams are like set for going into the season. Like the Grizzlies, mm-hmm. they're not tanking, but they're close to tanking, right? Like they let a lot of guys walk. It doesn't seem like they're actively like maybe trying to win this year. So it's like, are they prepared to just totally shift gears and like try and fit Kyrie in? Like I doubt it, you know?
Mm hmm. Yeah, I don't disagree. The Warriors certainly, I think, skewed some of this.
Yeah.
I think if the Cavs like had an idea, you know, based on what we know that Kyrie wanted out, they probably would have just done Paul George for Kyrie and called it a day.
Maybe. I don't know. That's tough.
They would have done something. If he wants out, and it's, you could have done something there, you know, like just something based around that idea. Just because like it gets you Paul George, you know, and I think that was probably goal number one this off. That was goal number one this offseason. Backup plan was try for Jimmy Butler, and then pretty much I don't really know what the third plan was, but
Paul George was definitely 1A on their list.
Yeah, 100%. He was very much the zeroed in target for them. But Chops, we'll wrap it up. Go ahead.
Portland's another one. I don't know. They don't have a lot. I mean, unless like you said, a shakeup. Dame for Kyrie. Just Dame's been very vocal about how he would love to play with LeBron James.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be down for it. If that's what you could do, it'd be really interesting to see that. I mean, you'd like it'd be the Kyrie Lillard stuff there would get like real interesting, like very fast. Yeah. You know, like the comparisons between them would just get very, very interesting there very fast. Wrap it up on this last thing. We don't know. I don't know exactly when this is going to happen. My read is that it doesn't happen immediately. Where do you think Kyrie ends up? And what do you, just give me your best prediction, just shot in the dark of what your gut tells you is going to happen here.
I'm going to say he gets traded to the Suns within the next week.
That's bold. That's a lot bolder than I'm going to be. I'm not even going to pick a team because I'm going to pull a Windy and just like not really make a prediction. I just don't know if it happens in a week. I think it's probably going to happen before the season. I think it probably happens closer to the, you know, September-ish.
August, like in September. For sure. 100% in August.
Right? Yeah, I think like late August, early September makes the most sense. I'll put it this way. Like, I think I'm very confident in saying that their jerseys are coming next week.
I think
Kyrie's dealt after the jerseys.
You think he's? I mean, that'd be awkward. I think I'm gonna. Yeah.
Yeah. Some poor soul is gonna pull a Justin Rowan and like when Justin bought a Wiggins jersey.
Yeah.
and they're going to buy like a Kyrie new jersey.
I'm saying it's happening soon because here's – and Dave McMenamin was talking about this on The Jump, I want to say like a week ago or two. The Cavs, like they have leverage, but every single day that goes by, it does get affected a little bit. So the longer you wait here, the tougher it gets. And I think that clock starts ticking tomorrow once Josh Jackson's available to be traded. I think
– yeah.
Because that's tomorrow. That happens tomorrow. Or whenever – is this coming out tomorrow? Today.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're listening to this, it's August 3rd. Josh Jackson can be traded.
Yeah. So I think that – I know the Cavs don't want to put a clock on it, but I think that that's the clock because I think that he's going to be involved in whatever kind of deal that they might try and do, whether directly with the Suns or another team.
Yeah, I also do buy into the idea that, like, yeah, they could bring him to training camp, but I think if Kyrie's on the team opening night, his value, just because, like, you know, technically he no longer is under 2 full years of control anymore, you lose a tiny bit of leverage there, and I think that is worth noting.
Yeah.
I think, like, the moment you get in the season, like, I think you're right that it starts dropping and dropping and dropping the closer you get. I think once you're at the season and you get to the trade deadline, like, hypothetically, or get to that December 15th date, that's a problem.
You see what superstars have been traded for recently. Teams haven't been getting a lot, but those players have been either able to leave or they have like 1 year left. You have to take advantage of Kyrie having 2 years left on his deal because that's so rare.
Yeah.
The Cavs really do have to take advantage of this, and I think they will.
Yeah, I think there are like a couple questions about this Kyrie situation that I think we don't know the answers to, and I think what does a guy like Kyrie – who is really good, who is very marketable, who has 2 years left in New Zealand, is not necessarily in his full physical prime yet. What is that 2 years actually valued at in this market? Because we know that the Cavs were looking for a Melo level return. And if you like think about what Carmelo was traded for, that was a lot. Like that was just an obscene amount of stuff. The Cavs are not going to get that, but how close can they get to it is sort of the question here.
Mm-hmm.
And what is their floor? Like, I think if the best case scenario for them ends up being Dragic, Winslow is their floor. And if you can work up from that, that's the best case scenario, I think.
I think the floor is Bledsoe, Jackson, Dudley. I think that's the floor. I really do.
Yeah, I think the floor is like some version of you don't get a pick, but you get a young guy in a rookie contract and a veteran guy. Like, I think that should be their like one or two veteran guys. Well, actually, for real, I've done this. Do you necessarily think they need to get Target a point guard in return?
Yeah.
I kind of do too, because I just don't think Rose as a starter like is workable.
Yeah, you have to. You have to get a point guard back. There's no like kind of way around that. And they've said, like. Kobe said during that press conference they brought in D. Rose to be a backup. And I don't know if that was just leverage talk, but I think that was him saying, yeah, we're no matter what we do with Kyrie, we're going to get a point guard back.
Yeah, and you've had Rose's agent say stuff like Rose wanted to play on this team with these teammates no matter what. Like that's kind of been like a discussion point a little bit. So it seems like Rose, for a guy who like had issues with the Knicks' offense last year, that wanted the ball a lot and like was struggling with that, like seems like he is ready to take a backseat a little bit.
Yeah.
At least on paper, right? It's harder to do it in regular season, you know, especially if like they get to the season and this is like one of the biggest question marks about all this. Let's just say hypothetically, they don't get a point guard back or they get like a point guard, but it's not Bledsoe. It's just, or like Dragic. It's just like some like better guy than Rose. Kevin Love like should be getting like a much bigger role, you know.
He should be getting a bigger role no matter what. Even if it's Bledsoe, Kevin Love should 100% be getting a bigger role.
One of the most interesting things about next season is like Kevin Love in that role. But like, is Rose, who's like this guy who's very ball dominant who can't shoot, like if he's like your starting point guard or playing like 25 minutes a night, like is he gonna hijack that at all? Like that's just like something we don't know. You know, we won't really know how all this is gonna work. It's not going to be like a complete redux of 2014-15, but we're not going to know for a while, especially with like the Cavs, who even if it's new guys, even if it's you to replace one of your two horses, your three horses with other pieces, like you have LeBron and you have like the framework of guys that like, yeah, we're waiting for the playoffs, you know, like that's still going to be there. And that's just something, this regular season could be like very all over the place.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, like, because this could have been the year, like, Kyrie gets to do, like, a lot more, and now that's sort of like, well, I guess it's Eric Bledsoe and Josh Jackson. Like, you know, like that's sort of a very different reality.
Yeah, Kyrie's just not here.
Yeah, last thing. Swear to God, listeners, last thing. Chops, what do you think of the jerseys you've seen so far?
They're cool. I like them. Yeah, they're cool.
I kind of hope they do, like, one cool throwback, but we'll see.
The blues would be dope, like a blue throwback.
Yeah, because I think they're getting rid of either yellow or navy, and I hope they get rid of yellow.
I hate the yellow, and LeBron hates the yellow. No, LeBron hates the maroon ones.
Which is like they're the only one we've seen. Like that and the white are the only things we've seen.
Yeah, and they're not getting rid of the maroon ones, so I guess LeBron's not gonna
be happy. Yeah, so hopefully gold's gone. Hopefully get like a royal blue 80s style throwback. But Chops, I'll just give everyone a reminder real quick where they can find you on Twitter and where what's, you know, just what you have going on right now, because you got a lot of cool stuff going on.
Yep, Twitter, pchops underscore. Watch Everyday Struggle every single day on Complex YouTube.
Yeah, how does it feel to be part of a meme?
Oh, man, it's fun. You know, the last 6 months of my life have been pretty crazy, so it's a fun opportunity, you know, and every day we try and, you know, make the world better, I guess.
Shouts to Joe Budden. But this has been today's Locked. Yeah, shouts to Joe Budden. This has been today's Locked On Cavs. Again, check us out tomorrow night, 10 p.m. on Locked On Network's Facebook page. We'll be doing a live recording there, so you can answer your questions live, and we'll do that there. But for myself, for Chops, Locked On Cavs, hope you guys enjoyed another deep dive into this Kyrie saga. We'll be back tomorrow with another episode.